want to greet you again in the precious name of Jesus this morning. I feel a little awkward talking this morning. My left ear has been closed for about 2 weeks now. So what I'm saying is in my head, and I actually can hear a little bit through the mic, so thank you for the mic. So if I don't pronounce my words properly or if I sound like I'm mumbling, just pray for me and be gracious with me this morning. I invite you to turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5. And I was excited to hear what was shared about your brother, Regina, coming home and how God answered prayer. The title to my message this morning is Prayer. As we were looking at the last part of 1 John 5 in my last message, I didn't finish the chapter. I couldn't quite fit the last verses into where I was at. And then after the service, Tom came to me and he says, you know, he said, those verses just fit right in. And I'm not sure what all Tom had to tell me, but I started digging a little deeper and now it makes sense. So what I share this morning, I hope makes sense to you. I'll try to be clear with what I'm sharing. Some of the things that I've learned, and I don't know if you've been paying attention as we've been going through 1 John. Some of the things that I've learned as I've gone through this, and I'm hoping today to finish up with 1 John chapter 5. But some of the things that I've been learning were that John was writing to a group of people that were facing or had been faced with deception. So John was encouraging them. He was helping them to understand truth. Something else I learned is that we can have fullness of joy as a believer. You talked a little bit about the fruit of the Spirit, Craig. That's in there, Danny. I'm not sure which one, maybe both of you. We can have fullness of joy as a believer. Another thing I've learned is that living in fellowship with God results in having fellowship with my brothers and sisters here and other brothers and sisters. I find it amazing how many times as I work at Yoder's where I'm walking through and I'm just talking to customers and just relating to them, all of a sudden something comes up and we have a tiny little church service for a while. We talk about God and His goodness. We talk about struggles. We talk about how He's getting us through struggles. Different things that we've talked about. That's exciting to me. Another thing I learned is when we are in Christ, we are to walk holy. Another one is loving each other is a sign that we love God. We can't love the world and the Father at the same time. A believer does not live in habitual sin. Love and obedience go hand in hand. We are to test the spirits for authenticity or for truth. And then where we were last Sunday is if I am a believer, I can know that I am saved. It doesn't have to be a question. I can know that I am saved as a believer. So we're going to go to 1 John chapter 5. We're going to begin in verse 13. And we're going to touch on a few more things out of the verses that I touched on last week. Let's begin in verse 13. We're going to read about three verses to start with. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Again, he talks about believing on the name of the Son of God because that was the struggle that they were having. That ye may know that ye have eternal life. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. Excuse me, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. I want to ask you a question this morning. Have you ever gone through a time where you just did not feel like God's talking to you? You've prayed and nothing's happening. Anybody here have that? I see some nodding. I don't want to preach by myself this morning. Who would like to share a time when you came to a place where you felt like God just didn't answer? It's okay. We're brothers and sisters here. Anybody want to share something? It's not scary. It's okay. Okay. It's real, isn't it? It's today. Over here. Praise the Lord. Thank you for those testimonies. Anybody else want to share something? Thank you. Thank you. Somebody else want to share? Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. I don't care if I don't preach this morning. Who else would like to share this morning? His ways are best. Thank you, Ellen. Anyone else? I don't want to cut anybody short. I think we all face this a lot more than what we realize. When we pray, that it seems like sometimes God is just quiet. He doesn't talk, doesn't answer. But the scripture here says that He will. So how do we correlate that? How do we put that together? So when my grandson fell, and we were told there's blood on his brain and it didn't look good, we prayed. And God answered. When Jonathan Yoder fell, there's many people praying. God didn't answer like we thought He would. He took him home. I don't have answers for that. I'll be honest with you. I don't have answers for stuff like that. But I want to look at three things really quick here this morning and then a little bit more about the verses at the end here. Thank you so much for sharing. One of the reasons that God will not answer us, and this is a reason that we have in Scripture, is because we have sin in our lives. There's a verse in Psalm 66. Actually, I need to turn there. I wrote some things down on my computer, and then I ended up not copying it over here. Psalm 66. Here David is talking. And he's saying, I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifices of fatlings with the incense of rams. I will offer bullocks with goats. Then he gives an invitation. He says, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what He hath done for my soul. I cried unto Him with my mouth, and He was extolled with my tongue. And then he says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I think he's saying, if I would have had iniquity in my heart, God would not have heard me. Then the next verse, but verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor His mercy from me. That is such a beautiful statement. He did not have iniquity in his heart, so God could answer his prayer. Isaiah 59:1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. I want to take us to the children of Israel for a while. As they were coming up to Jericho, God had told them, I want you to march around Jericho. I think it's six times, and the seventh day that you do, march around seven times. And at the right time, I'll give you what you are to yell, and the walls are going to fall down. You can go in, you can take them. But he told them something right at the beginning before they got there. He said, and ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. He had told them, this is what you're allowed to have. There's some things you can take out for the sanctuary of God, but the rest of it, destroy it. Don't touch it. There was a man named Achan. that decided he had a love for things instead of the things of God. They went in, they destroyed Jericho, and then after that, Gideon said, well, let's go into the land where, go into Ai, let's take Ai. So he sent some messengers in there, he sent some people in to spy out the land, and as they went in and came back, they said, it's nothing. Just send 3,000 men, don't send all the troops, it's a tiny little spot, we can take them. So in they went, and it ended up the children of Israel turned tail and they ran. 36 of their people were killed. And they came back, and Joshua. Joshua falls on his face before the Lord, and he's asking, why? Why did this take place? Why could we not be successful? And God told him, because you have sin in the camp. Get up and take care of the sin in the camp. God could not make them successful because there was sin in the camp. And the story goes that they went, they talked to a bunch of different people. Achan is the one that was pulled out. Achan confessed and he says, yep, I took it. It's in my tent. They said, well, somebody go get it. They came back, sure enough. A garment and some gold and some things that he had taken were hidden in his tent. Excuse me for a minute. So they were hidden in his tent. And because of this, Joshua had to destroy. God said, you take care of this. He brought Achan and his family, everything together, and they all together went in and they stoned him, killed him. Then they burned him. Then they covered him with a pile of rocks. God hates sin. That sounds really, really simple. But God hates sin. And because there was sin in the camp, God could not move. That's one of the reasons God doesn't answer prayer. It's good for us to fall on our face before the Lord and to ask Him, what is it, Lord? Is there something in my life? You know, I sought God about my ear. I'm like, that has to be open before I preach. I can't preach that way. Yesterday I came home from work. I was grumpy. I had a rough day. And my ear was closed. God hadn't opened my ear. And my dear wife, who loves the Lord, didn't reprimand me, but talked to me in a nice way. Maybe God's trying to teach you something. I'm still waiting. I had to repent. It wasn't God's fault. We're human. Our bodies do these things. But if God chooses not to open my ear right away, it's okay. I'm still going to serve Him. That's what my wife asked. Can you still be joyful? And I admit it, Satan stole my joy. I allowed him to do it. God cannot work when there's sin. Another reason that we look at is the idea that God sees the big picture. Now I remember, I think it was when I went to take my driver's test, one of the questions or one of the comments I think had to do with seeing the big picture in front of you. When you're driving, don't just look at that car right in front of you, but look at the big picture. See a car way up front hitting the brakes? That means you hit the brakes. Slow down. I can't always see the big picture. When I'm asking God for something, God can see out ahead. He has a reason for what's happening. Maybe it's to teach me something. Maybe it's to teach somebody else something. But God has a reason that He's not answering prayer right away. Or He has a reason for why He is answering prayer, how He does. I want us to think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the three Hebrew boys. So Nebuchadnezzar had built this huge idol. And they were part of his government. They had worked their way up a little bit. So Nebuchadnezzar brings all the government together and he has this huge island. He says, when the music starts, I want everybody to bow. I believe these three guys had a close relationship with God. I have no idea. Did they go to God and tell him, you know, God, you know, if we don't bow, what's going to happen? They didn't bow, so they were called before the king. And this is their response, and I'm just blessed when I read this. It says, Shadrach, the king asked them, why don't you bow? I'm going to give you another opportunity, another chance. This is what they said. We are not careful to answer thee in this matter. In other words, we're not going to give in. We're going to stand. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. They had told them, if you don't bow, you're going to get tossed into a furnace. And they said, God is able to deliver us from the burning fire furnace. And if he will deliver us out of thine, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. God could see the big picture. Let's see what happened after this all took place. And I don't have anything written down here to see if I can get this from memory, but he threw them into the furnace, and after a while, there was the fourth person in the furnace. And they were walking in there. And so he brought them out. And after he brought them out, he realized that there was a higher power. And he said, this is the God that we will serve. What if they would have bowed? What if God would have answered a prayer maybe they had prayed? God, don't let him see us. God wanted to do something for King Nebuchadnezzar through them. But they had to be faithful to the God that they served. Another reason, maybe it seems like God sometimes doesn't answer prayer, is because he wants to grow me. This one's a painful one. He wants to grow me. How many of you faced a really, really big mountain in your life and you asked God to remove it? Yeah, I did. I think we all have. Do you think that's a bit selfish? God, I'm coming through. There's a mountain ahead of me. Get it out of the way. There's times God does. There's times God steps in and he says, okay, I'll move it. Then there's other times where God says, you know what? I'm taking you over the mountain. Trust me. That's hard, isn't it? Because we have no idea what's coming. What are we going to face as we go across this mountain? Some of us are facing mountains today. We're not sure what to do with that. Is God asking us to go around the mountain? Is he digging a tunnel? Is he going to remove it? Or is he going to be faithful and say, I'll go with you. I'll cross that mountain with you. See, there's many times where we ask God, bless my plans for today. We make the plans and we're going to pull God into it and say, now you bless what I've decided. What if we came to God and we asked him, would you give us direction for today and I'll follow you? I want to share a little story with you. This story comes from Rick Warren, pastor at Saddleback Church in California, a very large church. Rick Warren and his wife felt like they were called to ministry in China, and it didn't work. Nothing happened. It just did not take place. They prayed, and it just stopped. They were living in Texas at the time. So Rick Warren finally said, you know, I believe God's calling us to California. Let's go to California. They were 25 years old at the time, or Rick was. Let's go to California. Okay. I'm going to find 5 successful businessmen, and I'm going to bring them in, and I'm going to ask them to support our church. We're going to go start a brand new church, but I'm going to bring 5 men in that have cash, because he had nothing. He said, maybe they had $1,000 or less to their name. That was it. They didn't have anything. He said, we packed up our U-Haul and we left. We got to California. It's about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. He said, I had no place to stay. We didn't know where to go. The first night, I think they might have stayed at a friend's house or something, but maybe this was the second. I'm not sure how it was, but they went to this realtor and they told him, they said, "Can you find us a place to live? We don't have money. We're here to plant a church. We don't even have a church. We're by ourselves, the two of us." He said, "I have no idea how this realtor did it," but he said, "by the time he was done, we had an apartment. It was free for the first month, and there was no money down." After they lived there for a bit, they got a letter in the mail. And this is from some business guy. He said, "I don't know why, but I feel God leading me to pay 3 months of your rent." So God took care of that. And as they continued to work together there to build a church, it was way at the beginning. He said, "We needed some things for a nursery." So they went to a garage sale, and here was a bunch of items. They picked out a swing. They picked out a few things there for a nursery. And he said, "I'll never forget the number. It was $32.50. And I'm thinking that $32.50 would have gone a long way to buy groceries for us. He said, "We got home and we opened the mail. And here was a letter from an old granny. She said, "I preached at your church, or you have preached at our church. I'm on a fixed income. I can't give much, but I want to be a part of it. Here's $32.50. God was growing them. How's God growing me today? Am I listening? Am I hearing Him? Turn to Psalm 27. This is a psalm where David talks about who God is to him. I just want to pick out a few things. Psalm 27. This is what David says. "The Lord," that's his Redeemer, that's his Messiah, that's his Savior. "The Lord is my light." I don't know what you think about when you think about light, but I think about driving in darkness and being able to see where I'm going. He's my light, so He's my direction. He's the one that's leading me. "He's my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" So now we have light, we have salvation, and we have strength. "When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident." David had relationships so he could trust God. He was willing. He had been at a place where he allowed God to grow him. "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." He wanted closeness. He wanted relationship with God. He didn't want to do life by himself, but he wanted to be on the team, God's team. "For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion." I had to think about a hen. The rain's coming and all the little chicks come and get underneath it. That's how God is hiding him in His pavilion. "In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon a rock, solid foundation. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praise unto the Lord." I will sing praises unto the Lord. He was worshiping because of this. God deserves our praise and our worship. David had a way of describing God. Now I had to ask myself, so how am I describing God? How do I look at God? Is He distant? Or is He close? The fact is, He hasn't moved. He's close if we want to be near to Him. Remember the verse, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. He is close if we want him to be. But it's our choice. Is he quiet or is he speaking? Yeah, sometimes God's quiet. We don't hear so much. But I think most of the time, he's speaking and we're not listening. We don't hear him. I believe it's something we need to be doing, friends, is to be focused on hearing God speak. He has a lot he wants to tell us. Is he slow or is he acting on my behalf? Impatience. God, do it and do it now. Am I waiting on him because maybe he's growing me? Maybe he wants what's best for me. Something I wrote as I was studying here. When we have a daily relationship with the Holy Spirit, however that may happen in your personal walk, it is then we will know his will and be able to pray, and he hears us. He is working. And in his time, he will give what we desire as we learn to pray his will. Something Charles Spurgeon said is, true prayer is neither a mere mental exercise nor a vocal performance. It is a spiritual commerce with the Creator of heaven and earth. John 14:13 says this, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. Why? I want us to think about the why of this. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. That flips it around. It's really not about me. It's about honor and glory for God. We are praying not to satisfy self. We're praying because we want to draw close to him. We want to know him. And as we seek his face, he shows himself to us. And we have a relationship with him. It's a beautiful thing if you really think about it. I'm going to go on to the last couple of verses here. We'll try to move through this pretty quickly here in the end. I know it's getting past time already. Verse 16 in 1 John chapter 5. If any man see his brother sin the sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life. For them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. Let's talk about this for a little bit. The sin not unto death. And I was digging through this one, and I still have questions about this one. But as I dug a little bit, I came to realize that, you know, he does talk about earlier in 1 John about the believer doesn't sin. I believe he's talking about habitual sins. But this sin unto death, and you may have some different ideas, and I'd like to hear them after the service if you do. But the sin not unto death, possibly being our regular walk of life. All of us make mistakes. I mean, if you say this morning you don't, we do. We all make mistakes as we go through life. Maybe this is what he's talking about, the sin not unto death. Then he talks about a sin unto death that ties in with a rebellious spirit, a rebellious attitude against God. And that was the sin, I believe, he was talking to them about at the beginning of John, 1 John. The deception that they were facing. He says, if any man see his brother, sin is sin, which is not unto death. He shall ask, and he, God, shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. Do you know what kind of weight that puts on us? Intercessory prayer. When I know my brother or sister is struggling in an area, that we pray for them, God steps in and begins moving. No, I can't. I can't forgive their sin, but I can seek the Father on behalf of my brother or sister, and he begins working in their life, and God gives them life. I hope I'm not misunderstanding what he's saying there, but I would like to hear back from you. Verse 18, now there's three we knows that he talks about here in verse 18, 19, and 20. And by the way, I'm not sure why he says the sin unto death, don't pray for that one. I haven't come to a conclusion on that one yet. Because we don't want to give up on praying. I need some answers. Verse 18, and we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. That's habitual sinning. But he that is begotten of God, I love this verse. He that is begotten of God, that's Jesus, keepeth himself, that's us. So Jesus is keeping us, and the wicked one, that's Satan, touches him not. Do you know the security we have in that? I love that verse. It just gives me extra energy for the idea that Jesus is keeping me. Now, I'm not teaching this morning eternal security where you can live life what you want to and you're okay. That's not what he's saying. It's not taking advantage of grace. The wicked one toucheth him not. 19, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Verse 20, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding. You follow through with that one? He's given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. And this is the true God and eternal life. That's beautiful. And he was telling the people here that this is the God that I'm talking about, and he gives eternal life. And then he comes in with a little phrase right there at the end. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Anything that might come in and play a part of stopping you from a relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm going to close with just a few thoughts here. And these thoughts have to do with intercessory prayer. This morning, all of us have a part in walking together here as Calvary Chapel. We attend here. The other night, we came together and a bunch of us cleaned. We work together in a physical way, but there's a spiritual way that we're working together. And one of those ways that I want us to think about very clearly this morning is what I mentioned, is intercessory prayer. I started to, and I quit, and I need to get back to it. I started to take our little booklet that has all our names in it and praying through that once a day. And I got away from it. It's time consuming. But I believe it's important that we pray for each other. I want to give you a challenge this morning. God puts people on our minds. And I believe he does it for the sake of praying for them. Do you know how beautiful it is when somebody connects with me and tells me, you know what, you were on my mind this week and I prayed for you? That gives me energy. I'm going to lay that challenge in front of you for this week. As you get into the Word, as you pray, as you seek the Father this week, I'm going to encourage you to pray about your brothers and sisters at Calvary Chapel. Ask God to lay somebody on your heart. Maybe it's for the day, maybe it's for the week. However long it is, if God places that person on your heart, be very faithful in praying for that person. We all go through struggles. Craig's going through a difficult time right now concerning his job. We all have struggles. We all have needs. I'm not asking for a commitment this morning, but I'm just encouraging. Spend time in prayer for your brothers and sisters this week. If you really want us to walk in victory, to walk in unity, it's going to take that. The fact is, when I'm not interceding for my brothers and sisters, and I'm not saying it is this way, but there's a possibility I'm tearing down. Let's build up. Let's build up for the kingdom of God. Let's draw near to him and he'll draw near to us. And let's seek him in prayer. Thank you so much for being patient. I'm sorry, I went over time. I'm going to ask you to stand and we're going to have prayer. God, thank you so much for each one here this morning. We are your body. We ask, Lord, that you would continue to allow your Spirit to move among us. Thank you, Lord, for the avenue of prayer. Lord, I'm thankful that it's not one-sided, that only us talk, but that you also talk. I pray that we would have ears that would hear, ears that would listen, and hearts that are willing to walk in obedience. Lord, I pray that you would lay on our hearts this week someone that we can lift to you. And Lord, that we could see you working, moving here as a body. We just want to bless you. You are good. And we honor you. We worship you this morning. Would you dismiss us with your blessing? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jay, would you have a song?